call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
He's already given up on us.
Is not available. To page this person, press 5 now.
So we're here with Terry, who went to San Diego Comic-Con. We're calling on the phone. Terry, how was the convention? Oh, wait, no, he didn't answer his phone. I guess we'll try again.
Although we are calling you late.
Yeah, it's our fault, I guess. Well, my fault. Rock band's fault. Anyway, we'll try again later. Talk to you later. Bye, Terry. Is Terry there? Can you hear us?
I can hear now. Terry, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Sweet. Why do one of the girls in the volleyball team have on a different color uniform? I mean, I know why they do it in soccer, because usually it's the goalie, but why in volleyball?
Maybe she's the team captain?
And she gets a whole different uniform for that?
Maybe.
I don't think that's right.
That's a sports question, so I have no answer whatsoever.
That's not a real sport. It's an Olympic sport question.
And can you hear us all right, Terry?
I'm hearing you fine, yeah.
All right, cool. Well, that's all of our time.
Yeah, that's all the time I had
all right.
This week.
That's fun.
All right, so this is Brian and Adam in Adam's living room watching Olympic volleyball.
Yep.
And we are joined on the phone by Terry. How do you say your last name, Terry?
Lacaz.
Now, yeah. You are in Missouri, correct?
I am.
But you traveled recently all the way to lovely San Diego, California. For the San Diego Comic Con. Did you fly or did you drive?
I flew. The original plan was that I was going to drive to down to Hot Springs, Arkansas, where I'm from. My best friend there has a comics and psychology class at his college. And for quote-unquote research, they were the college was paying for them to go to Comic Con.
Awesome.
And they were going to get to take one of the university's buses to the Comic-Con, but gas prices went up, so we all had to fly. But yeah, I got roped into it to be part of the quote-unquote research.
Awesome. And
so, yeah, I flew.
Nothing says education like a comic book convention, I think.
Well, they were doing surveys, surveying fan mindset.
How much time would you say they actually spent on that kind of stuff?
Oh, a lot. Yeah, they had like packs of surveys that they would, you know, hand one out when they were in line for a panel or sitting waiting for a panel to begin or just wandering around. And it wasn't so much a problem of them asking people to take the survey. It was more of people saying, okay, I'll take the survey because, you know, you're at Comic-Con. You don't want to sit down and take 10, 15 minutes to fill out a survey.
Yeah, I would imagine
I enjoyed taking the survey because it made me think about the circles that I travel in and how people view, you know, the nerd circles and whatnot.
That is I usually think of it as this: everybody you'll ever meet is a nerd for something, but there seems to be a lot of cross nerd bias where, you know, like if you're a professional wrestling fan, you think a comic book reader is a nerd. If you're a comic book reader, you think professional wrestling fan is, you know, the dork. And if you you watch reality television, you know, you think pro wrestling is weird, but wait a minute, you're watching reality television, you know?
Exactly.
I think everybody's a nerd for something. I'm usually not a poo-pooer of somebody else's nerddom unless it really is just really bad. Well, you're a hateful person, Adam.
It's true.
You're a hateful, bitter man.
I tend to agree with Brian, except that gamers are icky and weird.
Very much so.
Yeah, Adam is
They're usually oily. They just appear to be oily, like someone rubbed them with ham.
Oh, it's so true.
That's a completely different fetish. Well, speaking of that, Comic-Con is one of those that you always see pictures of very interesting and disheveled people. And where there's always complaints about the unwashed masses. Can you verify those?
There were masses that were unwashed, and they were few and far between, but when you found one of those, I don't know, it was just sort of a pocket that you would hit, and you couldn't shake it for a couple of minutes, and when you hit one, you knew it. It smelled like locker room and stale fast food and vinegar and ass. And it just, oh. But yeah, I hit a couple of those pockets wandering the floor.
So
See, now what's weird is the closest thing we have to compare it to is how big Heroes Con in Charlotte has been in the last couple of years.
Right.
And, you know, it's maybe a tenth of San Diego from a crowd mm-hmm. perspective. But for the most part, walking around at Heroes Con, everybody's regular jeans and t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know, normal people that you would see if you were walking around a shopping mall instead of a comic book convention. I mean, you have, you know, some people that are different, like, you know, Danny or Devin or somebody like that. They're just really goofy.
Devin.
But, you know, you just have very few people dressed up in costumes, and then just a very few, it seems like, just obscene, you know, weird fanboy types. But every mm-hmm. time I see pictures of video of Comic-Con, it seems like they only show the two extremes. The yeah. people in crazy costume or the, you know, 500-pound man who doesn't look like he has yeah. any clothes that are clean and never has. As you were walking around, does it seem that way, or is it really just a bunch of regular people and that's just what they seek out to report?
Well, it seemed to me that it was about 50% normal people and then 25% people who really put some thought and work into their cosplaying and looked good. And then another 25 that was just the, 450-pound guy in the Nightwing costume, and he didn't even bother to make the mask. He just put little wings on the tips of his eyeglasses. But yeah, it was about broken down like that. I'd say that at least half the people there were just normal people walking around.
Now, when you say normal people walking around, I mean, we are talking about Comic-Con. Were they actually normal people?
I mean, normal, normal. Like,
really?
Like you would see them at a mall or just walking down the street. I mean, the actual nerd number was a lot lower than I thought it was going to be. I mean, there were people who broke my cardinal rule of Comic-Con. I don't think the people that are athletic, tall, and attractive should be let in. You can be any two of the three, but when you're all three, you shouldn't be let in. There should just be a guy at the door stopping those people from getting in. But there were, I mean, guys who, I mean, looked like they, like, exercised and went out into the sun and stuff. It was odd.
You're not just talking about the celebrities. You're talking about people that are actually there for the event.
Yes, people that were there for the event and, you know, didn't look like you'd see them, you know, at your local comic shop, you know, any given day.
Hmm.
Regular people. It was weird.
Do you think that's due to, like, the whole, how it's just a media extravaganza more than just comics-based? It's very movie-based and things like that as well?
I'm really thinking that's what it was, because there were a lot of guys and girls just sort of hanging around the booths of the major studios.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers had a gigantic booth, and there were constantly people flocked around that to see, you know, the stars of shows like Pushing Daisies and Chuck and stuff like that.
That's one of the things that it always surprises me a little bit about Comic-Con is that some of the shows will have kind of a direct tie-in. Some of the movies mm-hmm. will have a direct tie-in. But so much multimedia goes there that really you can't tie to comic books or even sci-fi whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, one of the guys from the WWE is doing some mm-hmm. direct-to-DVD movie about, it's like some sort of war movie, like some action sort of thing like that. And they had him out there. I'm like, all right, that doesn't really have anything to do with anything that's here.
So was it a
exactly,
sequel to John
yeah.
Cena's The Marine?
There was a lot of that happening. The History Channel had a booth.
It looks worse
and
than
that sort of made my head hurt.
Yeah.
They were giving out bags for some show about dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs.
I don't care about dinosaurs.
Yeah, not all nerds love science.
I do.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of the biggest presences there was Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
To celebrate its DVD release. I mean, they had like a huge booth set up, and it was like a two-story deal where you went up some stairs and could get your picture made on top of a unicorn. It was odd.
Yeah, not all nerds are potheads either.
Exactly.
I
understand that there is that crossover.
Yeah, so like, I guess like Hamlet 2 was there.
Hamlet 2, yeah, the sexy Jesuses were everywhere.
Really?
It was hard to get a picture without a sexy Jesus in it.
Did you get a picture of yourself next to Kim Kardashian's giant ass, perhaps?
I didn't. I tried to avoid it.
That's a day long task
like a
in itself.
Hole where you, oh, that was a poor choice of words. yeah, never mind.
I can understand the movie that she and Carmen Electra were there promoting that new. A movie that's supposed to make fun of things that were a lot better than the movie will be.
Exactly. One of those movies.
Yeah. And I can understand why they would be there promoting that, because they're trying to make fun of Batman and Iron Man and the Hulk and all that kind of thing. But that movie just looks god awful.
Oh.
Watching a trailer and there's nothing that even makes you crack a smile and it's a comedy, how does that get released? I mean, they're putting that in the theater.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all. If you want to see a movie about a pregnant teenage girl, go see Juno. Don't see the movie that is sort of about Juno. You want to see, you know, Batman, go see Batman. Don't see a movie that spoofs Batman.
It
doesn't make any sense.
I think those movies started to jump the shark when they tried to pick on movies that are actually successful. Like, they made an entire one picking on 300. I'm like, all right, that movie made a lot of money. Why are you picking on something that obviously people
like? Well, they're
riding
on the coattails of it, is what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're just hoping on that.
I haven't seen any of the spoof movies since I saw the first Scary Movie. Yeah. And as much as I love dick jokes, there were just way too many dicks in that movie. It disturbed me. The scene where the dick goes through the guy's ear, it was, yeah. And then I think I saw the second one, and then after that, I just sort of gave up. I decided to stick to Airplane on DVD.
Exactly.
Yeah. Why go past the best version anyway?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So do you think all of that helps or hurts Comic-Con?
I think it helps. I mean, anything to get people into the building, you know, mm-hmm. if they're only there to, you know, get Yu-Gi-Oh cards and happen to pick up a trade from Half Price Trades booth, that's good for the industry.
Yeah, true. How about your experience? Does that help or hurt your experience?
you know, I don't think it really bothered me. I understand why, you know, things like that were done. So I just, you know, didn't let it bother me and just sort of focused on the things that I was there for. The, you know, the DC booth, the Marvel booth, the various toy booths, and trying to get to and from the panels that I wanted to see.
So you actually sat panels?
I sat through a few panels. It was hard to get in and out of the panels, and a lot of the panels, if you weren't there, you know, just sitting through the panel beforehand, you weren't going to get into the panel that you wanted to see. Yeah. I had to sit through, like, 1.5 Stargate panels to get to the Dr. Horrible sing-along panel, and I'm still not quite sure if it was worth it or not.
Yeah, wow.
I understand that the Dr. Horrible one got a huge reception, though. How much fun was that one?
It was amazing. There were, you know, the room was full, and I think it held 6,500 people.
Wow.
And when Nathan Fillion walked onto the stage, he just had a presence that said, "I can sleep with any man, woman, or child in this room." He was the prom king of Comic-Con. He just, and he knew it, and it was wonderful, and we loved him.
He can sleep with anybody in this room. I mean, what?
Yes, really.
He does really funny blogs on his MySpace page, and he said something basically about how awesome it is to go to that show and have people treat you like you're a god for a little while.
Exactly. Yeah, one of the guys I was with was just sort of wandering the floor and came across the California Brown Coats booth that, you know, make various Serenity t-shirts and mm-hmm. do various, you know, Serenity oriented things, and Nathan Fillion just happened to be there, so my friend got his picture made with Nathan Fillion, and Nathan Fillion, like, took everything that the guy bought from the booth and signed it and handed it back to him.
Awesome.
And, yeah, he was just a really nice guy.
He really seems that way, and the little Brown Coats organizations that they have, for anybody that follows the Firefly Serenity stuff, those things are still chugging along. They jump in with Joss Whedon whenever he has a charity that he is trying to represent, mm-hmm. and they still have get-togethers and screenings and parties and things like that. And they they got to the point that they could actually get people from the show, people involved with the productions, to go to their get-togethers, mm-hmm. which, you know, is kind of amazing because some of the people that are involved with those shows aren't exactly, you know, struggling to get work. I mean, Adam Baldwin's yeah. on every movie or TV show that's made, mm-hmm. But, you know, he's still showing up for that stuff.
It just goes to show how much the people involved loved doing that. You could just see it in Nathan Fillion's face, and he talked about it. He loved doing it. And what's her name that played Kaylee on the show? I can't remember her name off the top of my head. But
Jewel
she was,
Saint, I think.
She's apparently on one of the Stargate TV shows now. And anytime she was asked about Serenity or Firefly, you could just, you know, see it in her face that she missed doing that.
I miss them doing it as well.
Exactly.
I was big fan of that show, big fan of that movie, too. I think it's past.
I didn't watch it when it was on TV. I was so wrapped up in Buffy and Angel. And like, you doing another show and there's not even a vampire in it? Well, I'm not going to watch that.
There's no vampire and teenage girls beating up vampires? What the hell?
Yeah, why bother?
I was the same way. I mean, except that I was never a Buffy fan. I don't know that I've ever actually seen an entire episode of that show still, but
That's not right.
when that movie hit theaters, I just thought the trailers looked really good. So mm-hmm. I said, you know, I'll give that thing my $5. So I went to see the movie and just loved it. And then, you know, found that you could get the complete TV series it came from for, you know, like $20 on DVD. And went yeah. and bought it and fell madly in love with it. It was like, this figures. Fox finally did a TV show that was worth watching, and they canceled it after like 10 episodes.
That's because you didn't watch it.
Exactly. Nathan has bad luck with TV shows on Fox, though. I mean, his show Drive was on for like 3 episodes.
Yeah, and apparently they showed them out of order and not in the right time slots. So yeah, I think Fox just hates Nathan Fillion.
Apparently so. Maybe it's... Maybe they resent him from getting to work with Kerry Russell so much. I don't know. So, other than the Dr. Horrible, what other panels were you able to go to?
I got to see the panel for Dollhouse, Joss Whedon's other new show.
All right.
With Eliza Dushku, and she is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. She,
your wife's
my
not
friend
gonna
said that she
this,
was so
she?
Pretty, it's like she exists on another plane of reality from the rest of us. Oh, and,
wow.
and it's true. Like, she was gorgeous. Oh. And I wasn't thrilled about watching that show until I saw the panel and listened to Josh speak about it and listened to Eliza speak about it. And now I'm stoked. I'm excited for Dollhouse to show up on Fox.
See, the last thing you said, though, it's going to be on Fox. They'll show it out of order and at 3 o'clock in the morning. And
But, you know, in a year from now, we'll get a nice, you know,
little DVD package. Maybe a feature film out of it. And, hey, they can have nudity in the feature film.
Oh, that would be okay.
So, at a place like Comic-Con, do you actually get a chance to just kind of sit there and talk with any of these creators, or is it just so swamped that you don't get time for that?
Well, it depends. I really didn't get a chance to do any of that because I was just, you know, so focused on seeing as much as I could because I figured it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I may as well see everything that I can. But, yeah, I did get a chance to speak with a few guys. DC's booth, DC had the best idea going. They had 5 tables set up, 3 DC tables, a Vertigo table, and a table for their little manga imprint. And they constantly had artists and writers, you know, circling through those tables. Like every hour it would change over and someone new would come and sit down. And you could just walk through, you know, there were usually a line, but the lines were never bad at the DC booth. And you could walk through the line and talk to whoever was there. I got to speak to Pete Tomasi for just a moment. His line was a little busy.
Did you tell him that everybody but Marty loves his book?
I'm sorry?
So did you tell him that everybody loves his book, but his work on Nightwing, but Marty?
I just told him that I was thankful that he made Nightwing good again, and I was thankful that it was no longer a guilty pleasure. Yeah. It wasn't the dirty little secret I had to keep every month. I met Jerry Robinson, creator of the Joker. That was amazing. The man was like he's like 1,000 years old, but he's still trucking along up there at Comic-Con.
Did he have a line?
He really didn't. We saw him the very first night, the preview night, down at Artist Alley, and he was, you know, doing sketches on pieces of paper and, you know, selling them. I didn't have enough cash to just go buying a whole bunch of sketches, but one of the guys I was with got, you know, an original Jerry Robinson sketch of Batman and the Joker.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But we all got our photo made with Jerry Robinson, and that's really good enough for me.
Hmm. There's a similar thing that we thought was kind of perplexing at Heroes Con. Darwin Cook was a few tables away from the creator of Green Lantern, who
yeah.
nobody ever stood in line for, and it seemed like his table was pretty much empty for the most part. But Darwin Cook had to line out the building,
and
people
wasn't
were
even
all
there.
Asking him, hey, will you draw me a Green Lantern?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it's got a lot to do with what's hot right now.
Yeah.
Because it was the same way with Keith Giffen and Jim Starlin were at the DC booth at one point, and there was no line. I walked right up and, you know, got sketches from both of them really quickly. I had Jim Starlin do Adam Warlock with a scroll chin for one of my Secret Invasion sketch covers.
Cool.
And had Keith Giffen do Ambush Bug with a fake scroll chin tied on. And that was pretty awesome.
How were some of the other industry booths? Did you get to check out Marvel setup?
Marvel setup was nice, but it just didn't seem like there was a lot going on anytime I was over there. The one time there was something going on, they had a little stage set up and some Marvel marketing guy up there, and they had C.B. Cebulski and the chick, I can't remember her name, that's going to be writing the new NYX series, and called two people out of the audience to play the pyramid, the $100,000 pyramid, but, you know, for Marvel trivia. And that was about the only thing I saw going on there, and I wasn't even thrilled about that until, Peter David just walked up and stood next to me and we were both trashing the guy that didn't know anything about Marvel that they're trying to answer questions. I think that might have been the highlight for the con for me. Just me and Peter David making fun of a guy.
something that's kind of different at Comic-Con is you have so many of the huge vendors that are set up, and you don't get them at a lot of other conventions. A lot of other conventions are more like individual people will have tables. Do you also have a lot of that at Comic-Con too, where you know the individual creators will buy space for themselves to promote their stuff, or are they mainly hanging out at whatever company's table they work for?
Usually it was just hanging out at whatever company they were working for, but most of the artists did have a table in Artist Alley. The Artist Alley was great, but you know, they would have a few things at each table to sell you if you're wandering through there.
That's cool. I mean, one of my problems with how the bigger companies treat some of the smaller conventions is I wish they would have some sort of presence, but at the same, because I mean, like, you know, at something like Heroes Con, something like Dragons Con, things that we have locally, you know, Image will have a booth, and
yeah.
some of the other smaller companies like 12 Gauge Comics, things like that, they'll have booths, you know, specifically to try to push their things. But, you know, Marvel, DC, none of those guys actually bring any sort of presence as far as company-wide, hey, we're, you know, at this event.
Now the creators are responsible for everything themselves at events like that.
Well, I just see that as a foolish move on Marvel and DC's part. I mean, they're doing nothing but, you know, keeping money out of their own pocket by doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems kind of odd, like, you know, at the Heroes Convention, you know, we marked a couple of times that we kept seeing Dan Didio everywhere because he was just kind of wandering around.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he'd end up hanging out at, like, Newsarama's booth because he had no place to go. I'm like, all right, you sent your editor-in-chief. Why didn't you buy a table for, you know, to have, you know, some sort of DC display, some sort of DC type paraphernalia at? You know, if Image can buy several tables, I mean, Image has like a big booth with some sections and whatnot. I mean, I'm sure DC has the extra cash in the budget to have a table set together too.
Yep.
It just seems kind of odd.
It's just poor planning on their part, I think. I know that they spared no expense at Comic-Con, they had, like, their area was huge, and they had freebies. They had tables of freebies every day that you had to get in line for because everybody wanted the freebies.
I want freebies?
Yeah.
And they actually hired people to dress up as characters and wander the floor. There was a guy dressed up as Plastic Man, which I would think that that would just be goofy and weird, but no, it was awesome. He had big foam hands that, you know, were shaped like, one was shaped like a hammer, and I think the other was just a great big hand. And they actually had him walking around on stilts as if, you know, he was stretching.
Wow, cool.
And they had Zatanna and a really great Superman, and then a whole big group of Gotham villains because, you know, they're the big thing right now.
Yeah.
Overall, how were the costumes?
I was about to ask that.
I would say better than I was expecting. Most of them were really good. Then there was that, you know, group of, you know, teenage kids that watch whatever anime show they watch and want to dress up as that character.
When you walk past them, you have no idea what they're dressed as.
Yeah, they just have like a giant, you know, foam sword that's like 10 feet long. And the big thing was apparently free hugs and free high fives. All these anime kids were giving out free hugs and free high fives. And
it didn't cost huggles?
It was just creepy.
That sounds
creepy.
But
yeah, most of the costumes were really great. There was I don't know if the guy worked for Hasbro or what, but he had the coolest Bumblebee from the Transformers movie costume I'd ever seen.
Wow, really?
It was raised up, and like it just looked like he was Bumblebee. I don't know how else to describe it. It was awesome.
Wow.
What as you're walking around, seeing all these different things, kind of touched on, you know, some of the big companies you visited. What was something that you weren't expecting to seek out, that you weren't, you didn't know you were going to hunt down, that you kind of came across that you were like, wow, I'm really interested in this after seeing whatever they had to offer?
Well, two things. I sort of happened by Chris Burnham's booth. He's the artist on Nixon's Pals, which is written by Joe Casey. It's an image book. It's about a parole officer for supervillains, and basically the trade that I bought from the guy is just six issues of this guy getting the shit beat out of him by just about any supervillain that he had any contact with. And it was great. And I wasn't expecting to want that or like that, but I liked it so much that I went back to him and got a Batman sketch from him for my sketchbook because it was what he was doing, you know, penciled, inked, and gray tone sketches for $15.
Wow.
So I got an awesome Batman from him. And the other thing that I didn't think I was going to care anything about was Flash Rebirth until I happened by the colorist, the guy that's going to be coloring that series at a table at Artist Alley, and was selling print of the promo image of Barry Allen, you know, like pulling up his boot and with the Flash Rebirth logo at the bottom. And these prints, he said they only made like 200 and they were only going to be available at the show. And I was like, well, I'll take two of those because I knew I was going to be at the Final Crisis panel later today and hoped I could get, you know, Jeff Johns to slap a signature on there. And I was lucky enough to have that happen.
Sweet. So one of them is on the wall and the other one's on eBay.
It will be soon, yes.
What? So you're also at the Final Crisis panel.
Yes, I was at the Final Crisis panel. That was an awesome panel because Final Crisis number 3 hadn't come out yet, and it was supposed to have come out, you know, the Wednesday that Comic-Con started.
Right.
And Dan DiDio obviously felt bad about it. I mean, he just had a look on his face that he felt bad about it. So he invited two guys up out of the audience to come and read the comic before it came out.
Yeah.
So those guys got to read it and then give us we got to ask them questions about the issue.
That's cool.
And Brad Meltzer was there because he's doing Final Crisis, Last Will and Testament, which is basically the night before, you know, the shit hits the fan, what's going to be the last thing you do on Earth. And he had apparently just gotten an email with the final page from the penciler, and it was on his BlackBerry, and asked if anyone in the audience wanted to come see the final page of it. And I shot my hand up, and he called me up out of the audience, and I got to see the last page of that on his BlackBerry. It was kind of cool.
Awesome. What is the last page? Clue us in.
It well, you know, with no dialogue and really no ink and no color, it was kind of hard to tell, but it looked like Hal Jordan, you know, leaving Earth forever.
Huh.
Yeah.
Where's cool. he going?
Who is who's doing the artist with that one shot with him?
You know, I can't remember for the life of me, and I feel like crap for not doing my research beforehand, but I cannot remember.
Son of a bitch.
But it was awesome.
What other, so we mentioned a couple of panels. Any other panels mm-hmm. that you hit that really stuck out for you?
The Marvel X-Men panel was pretty good, just because I have like a man crush on Matt Fraction.
As does Adam.
He was ruling that panel.
But he's charismatic,
you know,
isn't he?
Is.
Yeah.
He's a rather charismatic
fellow.
He was just
working the room. And that was a pretty good panel. They announced the next big X-Men crossover in, I think they said, December or January was going to be Inferno 2. They're calling it something dumb like X-Infernus or something like that.
Yeah.
But it looks pretty piss poor to me.
Yeah.
A sequel to a story that happened 20 years ago. Why bother?
Yeah, that wasn't really good when it was out.
Yeah, yeah. And the panel that I was most surprised by how much fun I had in it, was before the final Crisis panel, to make sure I had a seat, my friends and I sat through the Peanuts panel about the Peanuts animated shows,
all
the animated specials, and they had the voices of the various characters up there and Charles Schulz's widow, and that was really fun. I really enjoyed that panel. Oh, and the panel for the Sarah Silverman program. Again, we sat through that one just so we could see the first three episodes of the Wolverine and the X-Men cartoon, but that was a great panel. Patton Oswalt was the moderator, and everybody from the Sarah Silverman program was there, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. There were dick jokes. And
yeah, I bet.
Brian, earmuffs all around.
Brian, Ponson, what's his name? I don't know. Doesn't matter. So, again, that one has nothing to do with comics.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with comics, except that, you know, Brian Posehn is a nerd.
Yeah.
And I noticed him twice just sort of wandering the floor buying stuff. So I got his autograph at one point.
Like
at one point, I saw him walking around with what's his name? The guy from Anthrax that had the really long beard.
Ian, that guy? Ian,
yeah,
what's his name?
Yeah, he and Brian Posehn were just sort of wandering the floor buying stuff.
I dig those guys. Did you see everything there was to see?
Oh, God, no. No, not even close. I think I got to make, like, two laps around the actual floor. But I had to go through, you know, every little alleyway and see every little booth. Yeah, I just don't think it would be possible.
So,
there was just so much.
How long did it take to walk across the floor?
Yeah, the first night I was there, the first thing I did was make a loop, and it took a good 25, 30 minutes to just loop the outside of the floor. And it was already packed on preview night. There were lines everywhere. It was huge.
And
the town I grew up in was a town of like 75,000 people.
Yeah.
So it kind of made my brain hurt that I was in a room with nearly twice that many people.
So were you guys there Friday through Sunday?
We were there Wednesday through Sunday.
Wednesday through Sunday.
Yes, because they had the, if you're registered for all 4 days, you get to go in Wednesday night for preview night, which was, you know, just another night. I think they showed the pilot for Fringe that night.
Okay.
I didn't get to go to that. It was already full, and there was just too much other stuff to see.
Right.
So we were there for that. And then Wednesday was the actual, or Thursday rather, I'm sorry. Thursday was the first day of the con, so from then till Sunday, we were there, open to close.
How far away did you guys have to stay from the convention
Jesus,
center?
It was ridiculous how far away we had to stay. We had to actually get on the city train to get back to where we were. Our hotel was about a 10-minute walk from the Mexican border. So it took 45 minutes on the train to get to our hotel.
Wow.
Did you guys go to Mexico?
Yeah.
Did you go to Tijuana
we
for a little
over,
while?
We got to the border. We didn't get to actually go over the border into Mexico because none of us brought our passports.
Did
apparently, they won't let you back unless you have a passport. And I didn't want to get stuck in Mexico.
Did you guys? You guys just run up to the border and like point and laugh?
Yeah, we went to the border, and there's actually a McDonald's at the border. So we ate at a McDonald's whose kitchen was probably in Mexico. the sons of bitches, I ordered the two cheeseburger meal, because that's the Terry LaCasse special. The two cheeseburger meal, no onions, and they give me my damn food, and I go sit down, and I open up the first burger, because you have to check, and they didn't put any damn meat on the burger. And I went to take it back, and there was, like, this drunk guy, because, you know, we're, like, 2 steps from Tijuana up there ordering food, and, like, he was going off because I didn't have meat on my burger. He was angry at them for me. It was weird.
Asked for the Terry special and got the Adam special instead.
Apparently.
Well, with no onions and no meat on a cheeseburger, or I mean, was it just cheese and bread?
Yeah, why bother?
Cheese and pickle sandwich.
A friend of mine did once order 10 junior bacon cheeseburgers from Wendy's with nothing but ketchup and cheese, and he ended up with burgers with no meat patty. 10 of them.
All righty.
Apparently you got to be specific with them sometimes.
You have to be real specific. What would you like on this, sir? Well, meat. Bread.
Yeah, at first I had to explain to them, you know, what they had done wrong, because apparently the people working there lived in Mexico and were just coming over to work at the McDonald's.
Okay.
So they were like, what did we do? I was like, there's no meat. You said no. No, I said no onions. No onions. And then they looked at the chicken and was like, oh, yeah, it does say no onions. That's great. It's 11:30 at night, and I have to walk, you know, half a mile to a hotel. I've been on my feet all day, and then you, yeah, thanks, guys.
How expensive? I saw the guy that does the I'm a Marvel, I'm a DC videos has had jokes before about the ridiculous food prices, food and beverage prices at the New York and San Diego Comic Con. Like, how much was a Coke inside the con?
Ridiculous. Yeah, a canned Coke I noticed at one place was $2.50
for a can.
A can of Coke. And they had 20 ounces at a few places, and they were $3.75.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you can still pretty much find vending machines where that's 50 cent and a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yikes.
And there was a Subway 3 blocks from the con. I'm not going to spend the same amount on a drink that I can go to Subway and get, you know, a foot-long sandwich for. It's insane.
What you can get your entire lunch for.
Yeah, I'm not going to have my dinner financed. Thank you.
So did you guys have any sort of nightlife while you were there?
Not really. Friday, I guess it was Friday night, they showed the Wolverine and the X-Men preview episodes, and that wasn't over until like 11, and we were exhausted by that point because we had been there since like 9. So, you know, we trudged back to the hotel that night. Saturday night, we did go to this kind of neat little restaurant down one of the streets from the con. I think it was called Mary Jane's. And apparently a lot of the con goers were there. We had dinner there and just sort of wandered around and made it to a mall out there. Yeah, really, really didn't do much in the way of nightlife. We were all too broke and too exhausted to enjoy it.
So one of the nights of the convention, you were there till 11:30. Did it run? Was it open that late every night?
There were pretty much after hours things going on every night. Saturday night was the masquerade, and from what I understand, that wasn't over until nearly midnight.
Wow.
Yeah, every night there was always something going on after, you know, the con floor itself closed, because the floor is downstairs, and it's roughly the size of, like, 2 or 3 football fields. And then upstairs they have, I think, something like 30 different rooms for panels and meetings and whatnot. And after the con floor would close at 7 each night, there would still be lots of stuff going on upstairs. There were panels that weren't over until, you know, 10 o'clock at night.
Wow.
And that's to say nothing of the things going on, you know, in the 2 hotels that are right there adjacent to the convention center. Apparently those were the big party places.
So with everything that you saw and everything that you got to experience, if you had to make a guess, how much do you think you missed? Like, do you think you hit 25% of what you could have seen or done at the convention?
I'll put it this way. I got to see about 50% of what I wanted to see.
Wow.
Because, like, before I went, I was, like, on the Comic-Con website, you know, for, like, 3 days in a row, like, making lists and charts of what time I had to leave this panel to be at that panel, and where I had to be at what time to get what signed by this guy. And yeah, it was just too hectic to get, you know, half of that stuff done.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to do. That's to say nothing of the, you know, the anime booths and the collectible card game booths, and the video game booths were huge. They had a huge presence there. The Warhammer people, they were there. I'm not sure exactly what that is. I think it's some sort of RPG.
Yeah.
But they had a huge presence, and I just sort of glanced at all that stuff.
Well, even like
so I would say I got to see maybe 25% of it. I think that would be a fair estimation.
Video games probably were a pretty big portion of that. That's a pretty good tie-in. And plus Marvel and DC both had big games to announce things for as well. Did you see any of the booths, the setups for that stuff?
The DC Universe Online had a separate booth from the DC booth, and it was big, and that game looks beautiful. I've never played an online RPG before, but this may be the one I have to start with. It looks fun. It looks accurate, which is probably a bigger thing for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm 95% sure I'm going to be playing that game when it comes out. Apparently people were just having little shit fits over Spider-Man Web of Shadows. Apparently that was huge there. I didn't pay any attention to it, but apparently people were loving that. And the Lego Batman video game, they had a huge presence. They had a neat promotion going on. They had actual little kiosks set up in one in the Warner Brothers booth, one at the DC booth, and one at the Lego booth. And if you go to each of these booths and play a level in the game, they will give you a piece of Lego Batman. And you go to each booth and you get the three pieces. And then you take it back to the Warner Brothers booth, and they give you the Lego Joker that goes with it in a con exclusive box.
Wow.
And I tried to do that, but the lines were just ridiculous.
Yeah. That DCU Online, I've never played one of those games like that before. For my video game setup, I don't play any of the games online. But, you know, that game, I know, I want to try it first, if that's to see, before I completely delve into it. But, because I don't know that I have, I mean, if it's like a lot of those online games, it seems like you spend as much time trying to have a decent character as you do actually playing anything. So I don't know that I have that much time to play, but at the same point, you know, if you can log in and create your own superhero and go punch out the Joker, you know, which is kind of, it seems like that's what they're promising, that, you know, you could be a villain and, you know, be the next big foil for Superman, or, you know, be a hero hanging out in Gotham City and all of a sudden get invited back to the Batcave for milk and cookies after beating up the Joker. I think it's going to be a lot of fanboys that maybe wouldn't have given it a try that will feel the need to kind of dive in.
Yeah, I'm there. They've got me.
So what all did you take home from San Diego?
Yeah, what kind of swag are you most proud of?
Swag. Oh, well, I'm actually sending you guys a little bit of the swag. It'll probably be in the mail today coming out to you guys. The Spirit booth was giving away some cool stuff. They were giving away posters, you know, like the four posters of the chicks in the movie.
Yeah.
They were giving away trading cards of the chicks, and I didn't really care about it until I got to looking at it. It comes in this neat little case. It's just sort of a paper case that you unfold, and it's the trading cards and a stick of gum.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So I had to get that. they were giving out T-shirts. One of those T-shirts is coming to you guys because it was an extra large, and it looks ridiculous on me.
Cool.
Sweet.
Swag stuff. Oh, every booth had, you know, con-exclusive little preview books of stuff.
What was the, you know, since you spent some time at Spirit Table, what was the kind of buzz at the con for that? Because, I mean, I find it to be like, if you go to sites online that are comic book centric, that you have a lot of people that are very worried about that movie. But if you go to a site that's not about comics, then people are thinking that it's going to be great. So at Comic Con, which is kind of a mix, what did you get? What kind of vibe did you get about the interest in that?
Exactly the one you just described. You could tell the people who were nerdy and knew, you know, about Will Eisner and about the comics, because they would walk by the booth sort of apprehensively and sort of, you know, sigh to themselves. And then there were, like, you know, just movie guys that would walk by and be like, cool, Frank Miller, Sam Jackson, sounds great, give me your stuff.
Scarlett Johansson's boobs.
So it was, it was about the same as the breakdown that you described,
I think the bad thing is if it's bad and very, very much against the comic, I still don't see any way for it not to make a shitload of money. So it's kind of like Frank Miller wins any way you slice it.
Well, if Frank Miller makes a good movie, then I'll be happy that he's won. And if not, I think it'll make money, but I'm not sure that he's going to be able to pull one over on, you know, smart moviegoers. If this movie doesn't rock, I'm not sure that he's going to be able to get much work after this.
It'll be interesting to see. I'm kind of fearful that it's both going to be bad and that it's going to make a lot of money. Because it looks really flashy. A lot of people really liked Sin City's look. And just like Sin City, there's a lot of hot ass in that movie. And a lot of people are going to go crazy for it because of that.
I almost have the same feeling that I had when I was watching the Speed Racer trailers. When I see the trailers for The Spirit. Like, oh, I remember that. Seeing this trailer makes me want to go back and enjoy the thing that I enjoyed the first time, not this.
Yeah. Speed Racer kind of flopped, huh?
Speed Racer, that was a really big fail for them.
I don't
think they came close to making the money back that it cost to make the movie.
I'm thinking they'll break even with DVD, but I'm not looking for Speed Racer 2 to come out anytime soon.
So, I mean, I interrupted you for the Spirit thing, but what other kind of... what other kind of swag or take-home stuff are you going to be treasuring from your voyage?
My favorite things have to be, I don't know why I'm so obsessed with these, but the Secret Invasion sketch covers that I got done. I had like four, maybe six, I think I had six of them done, with various characters with Skrull chins. I got Rob Schraub that does Scud the Disposable Assassin. He did Scud with a Skrull chin.
Cool.
Todd Knock, that used to do pencils for Young Justice, and he may have done Robin for a little while.
I can't remember exactly.
But Wasp as a Skrull. I got Chris Giaruso that does the mini Marvels, the, you know, like the very round heads.
And
yeah.
He did Hawkeye, a mini Marvel Hawkeye as a Skrull. And his stuff was, I don't know if I'm the only one, I might be, but I love his stuff. And he, like, had original pages there for, like, $25.
Wow.
So I got a Chris Giaruso original, like, 11x17 inked Batman. And it's already framed.
Cool.
I couldn't hold off on framing that one.
I do like your stuff. And I like the tone of that book. I wish that it doesn't seem like they'll just give him a series where he can produce it every month, though. I mean, it's just like in the back of that Franklin Richards book, right?
Yes. Yeah, and he had the little the digest of the mini Marvels there selling it.
I mean, I wish that they would release that as a monthly book like they do, like DC is doing, like with Tiny Titans.
I think that would be awesome.
I think it's nice to have those fun kind of books.
The mini Marvel show.
Tiny Titans guys were like rock stars there. Everybody was just sort of in love with those guys. And I get that book every month because, you know, my little girl loves it.
Yeah.
You got the preview or the first issue on free comic book day, and now every time I tell her I'm going to the comic book store, it's, okay, make sure you get me the new Tiny Titan. So that, yeah, I had to get something autographed by those guys. And I got a Supergirl sketch from them for her.
Cool.
And seems like I got something else for her. Oh, there was a guy that does apparently most of the SpongeBob SquarePants artwork for coloring books and for Nickelodeon Magazine. He was there, and he did a SpongeBob sketch for her. Oh, and he gave me, for a Secret Invasion cover, he did Plankton from SpongeBob with a Skrull chin, which I think is my favorite. Cause, like, even Jim Starlin, when he did Adam Warlock with a Skrull chin, I don't think he knew what was going on.
Yeah.
I don't think he understood what the book was about and, you know, what the covers were about. But this guy obviously knows. He makes like this really angry looking Plankton with a little Skrull chin. And it's probably my favorite.
I love those covers. I wish that DC would do them too.
I know.
I mean,
it seems like that would be a perfect sort of tie-in for Final Crisis.
We get them. We get somebody to do things for them at every show, and I never get to keep any of them.
Yeah, I got the Howard the Duck, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, Dwayne Ballinger.
Dwayne did an awesome job with that Howard the Duck. That's pretty sweet. I think the only one I've kept so far is I have one of those. Matt Wagner did a Captain America, and his son did Jay and Silent Bob. his son did Jay and Silent Bob as a Skrull. Matt didn't do Cap as a Skrull, because that was on one of the Fallen Sun covers.
Yeah.
But I originally think that was going to be for giveaway on the site too, but now I don't think anybody's getting it but me. I mean, it is Matt Wagner.
I can't blame you.
I've just been holding on to my alley as a Skrulls.
All right, is this going to lead to you trying to plan out another con quest? Get it, con quest?
Yeah.
Or like you said, you think that was kind of like maybe a once in a lifetime thing?
I think San Diego may turn out to be a once in a lifetime thing, just because it's so far and it's so expensive and it's so much trouble.
You got a family to think
about. My fiance and I, we're getting married in November. And we're going to wait until next summer to take our honeymoon. And we're really looking hard at going to the Heroes Con next year.
Awesome.
For your honeymoon?
Yeah, well, there's she's a girl, so she likes historical buildings and crap like that. So we'll divide it up equally between those two things, I guess.
Well, if you're interested, to know kind of how expensive your voyage will be, we can certainly kind of let you know kind of the kind of money we usually run into as far as how much we spend on hotels and food and things like
that. Oh,
that
would be wonderful.
And there's HeroesCon is obviously tremendously smaller, but because of that, there's a lot more, I guess, friendly interaction at times. I mean, there's a lot of creators that you'll talk to that will actually be able to and want to spend the time actually talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of events that you'll hang out at where you'll, be sitting at the hotel bar and, hey, there's Matt Fraction. Or, hey, there's a table over there that has Jimmy Palmiotti, Darwin Cook, and Dan Didio sitting there having a beer at it, there's a lot of that at HeroesCon that doesn't seem to be the case at a lot of other places where there's a nice mix.
Yeah, the interactions I had at Comic-Con, they were nice, but, they were congenial and, hi, nice to meet you, let me sign your stuff, okay, let's move you along.
Yeah.
Because I met Grant Morrison three separate times, and, if it was a smaller con, I might have had a chance to, stop and have a little bit of a conversation. And,
right.
But I'm sure he had no idea that he saw me three different times throughout right. the con.
Yeah, imagine the people that flocked to him at an event like that, he probably doesn't remember any of it.
Yeah. I like to think I was at least a little more memorable because I was rocking my mohawk and I had on a bright green suit and I was done up as a zombie all in the same day.
Oh,
so
wow.
Maybe that made some sort of tiny impact.
What?
So one of the days you actually rocked it out in full costume.
I don't know that I would call it a full costume. I did the mohawk because that was, that was as freaky as I was going to get because I like to shave my head from time to time and.
Yeah.
I figured, well, Comic-Con, I'll let my freak flag fly a little bit. So I did the mohawk for Comic-Con, and I had happened to be at a thrift store and notice a bright green, it's like Riddler perfect green suit, and it happened to be in my size, so I bought it, and I thought, well, this will be fun for the con.
So you're really just hoping to run into...
So I did that one day, and then I got to the con and found the Boom Studios booth and realized that if you buy their T-shirt, they make you up as a zombie. They have a professional makeup artist there that has the airbrush gun and everything and makes you up as a zombie. So it just sort of stacked one on top of the other that, I did eventually look like one of the weird people. But that was fun. The makeup was great. I've got a bunch of pics on it online. I need to clean up before I actually do anything with.
Yeah,
but
so
it was a blast.
You have a bunch of pictures up on your MySpace page currently.
Yes.
I don't remember seeing
I think I have about
zombie.
Half of my pictures up there so far.
I saw you sporting the Dollar Bin shirt.
I was rocking it, yeah.
Which we appreciate.
Yes.
I appreciate it. I had to go shirtless one day without it.
Do you get your picture taken in anything interesting next to anything interesting with your Dollar B&B shirt on?
You know, I'm going to have to check. I'm fairly certain I did, but, you know, it's all kind of a blur by this point. I'll have to actually look at the photos and find out. I may have been wearing the T-shirt when I got my picture made with Jerry Robinson.
I think you were. Cool. I think you did post that one.
We need to start, since we're actually having T-shirts that we're not just wearing ourselves for once, we're actually giving and selling to people, we need to have like a page on our page of people wearing our stuff. We have a picture with Nat Jones.
Yep.
Terry has pictures of him at San Diego with the shirt. We need to start having that.
Yep.
Yeah. Make it a little contest, maybe. Who has the coolest picture of someone in a Dollar Bin T-shirt?
Instant winners if you're with a hot naked chick.
Well, can let Trey be the judge, because we love Trey.
Oh, damn, can't go a whole show without Trey be bitching.
I hate Trey. I swear to God, I hate Trey.
Trey. Don't be like that. We like you, too. It's just a Trey, you know?
Yeah, we'll do a whole show with Trey one day and see how people like him then.
You'll stop editing all the bad things that Trey says about everybody out of the show.
Yeah.
Keep it in next week and see how everybody feels.
Next time I'll just do a whole show of Trey clearing his throat.
Promise?
Maybe. But we gotta head out to Richard's now. We're already 15 minutes late. So, we definitely appreciate your wrap-up for us.
Hey, I've enjoyed it myself.
That means we don't have to ask Richard about it now.
Terry gave us a much better report than Richard gave us last year from his San Diego.
It's true.
But Richard was just kind of like, it was awesome because me and my friends had lots of money. At least that's
I should have tried harder to find him then.
That's what I remembered from last year from Richard's San Diego wrap-up.
But we appreciate it, Terry. It's good to finally
thank you guys.
Have you on and get something with you. I know we've been trying to get something together for a while now. It's finally good to get
something. Anytime, guys. Anytime.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
All right.
Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you.
Bye, man.
Later.